Solomon is the son of King David, and we are going to read 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3 to 15, where we see that King Solomon is praying for the wisdom.
And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child, I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing, and God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem, and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants.
Now here we see King Solomon prayed and asked God to give him wisdom. And God was so pleased. And God says, "You know what? You did not ask me long life. You did not ask me anything against your enemies. You just asked me wisdom. So I'm going to give you wisdom." So God gave him wisdom. But before Solomon prayed, the word of God says he gives sacrifice to God. In olden days, when they give sacrifice to God, that is the worship. When he gives the sacrifice to God, that means he loves the Lord and he wants to please God. When he gave the sacrifice to the Lord, then God spoke to him in a dream. "I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you the wisdom." And so God gave him wisdom. God heard his prayer. Right away, after God heard his prayer, he did more sacrifice. And when you read, go to the book of Kings, chapter 8, start reading from verse 10. That's 1 Kings chapter 8, starting from verse 10. Now here is a long prayer. Here also, Solomon is praying for now Israeli people.
And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Then spake Solomon, "The Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. I have surely built thee an house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever." And the king turned his face about, and blessed all the congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and hath with his hand fulfilled it, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build an house, that my name might be therein. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David my father, Whereas it was in thine heart to build an house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house unto my name.
King David wanted to build the temple. God says you cannot build the temple because you did lots of bloodshed. And not only bloodshed, innocent bloodshed. So God said, I'm not going to allow you to build the temple. Start reading from verse 54. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 54. I want to see how he ends his prayer.
And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord, that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, he promised by the hand of Moses his servant.
Okay, now read 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and start reading from verse 1. See, when they did all this sacrifice, God was so pleased, and the fire came from heaven.
Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house.
The temple was filled with the smoke and the glory of God. So here we see when he gave the sacrifice, he prayed to God, and here comes the fire from heaven and consumes the sacrifice. Once this thing happened, you have to know that God was very pleased with Solomon, and then he started blessing the people there.
And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement, and worshipped, and praise the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
Now here we see, God answered Solomon's prayer. God opened the heaven, the fire came, and consumed all the offering. How he promised Moses, and that promise is fulfilled. Now you can see, Solomon is happy, joyful. All the Israeli people are happy and joyful. And then you see, if you go to the Kings or Chronicles, we see his wisdom. But we are not studying about Solomon. We are studying about the prayers. The Solomon, when he prayed first time, he said, I'm a child. I don't know anything. I don't know how to lead these people. Just like Moses said, Lord, I don't know how to lead these people. If you are not with me, then I cannot go further. You kill me. Now Solomon humbled himself, asked God to give him wisdom. God gave him the wisdom. The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. And that's the Proverbs Solomon wrote. So he knew that once we fear God, God gives you wisdom. But God-given wisdom, you use it for the glory of God. If you don't use God-given wisdom for glory of God and start doing something else, if you start reading about Solomon, he did a lot of research. But the wrong thing he started doing, read in the 1 Kings chapter 11 and start reading from verse 1.
But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives and 300 concubines.
Now here we see, when God told the children of Israel, never marry strange women. If you marry the strange person or marry somebody who is not godly, they are going to turn your hearts towards their ideas, their gods. And that's what happens. That's why we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 or so, he says, do not unequally yoke. If you unequally yoke means if you want a partner in a marriage or business or anything, they have to be Christian. You cannot marry somebody and say, after marriage, this person will become Christian, or this person will get born again, or this person will fill with the Holy Spirit. Let me give him a chance. That means you are giving flesh chance to work in your life, not the Spirit. So here Solomon has the wisdom. Somebody says, well, Solomon made a mistake, so what? He was a smart guy. He made a mistake. So if I make a mistake, what's wrong with that? That's not the example he is given to us here. Now Solomon knew God is a great God. His father had the victory over every kingdom. We just studied last week, all giants were killed. First giant was Goliath, David killed. Then the other giants, when David was weak and could not kill because he was fighting and got so tired and weak, and then the giant was going to kill him, but one of his warriors came and killed him, and we heard that last week. So the point I'm making, Solomon has a peace in his kingdom. He didn't have to fight. But what he started thinking, my father was a good warrior, I'm not a good warrior, what I'm going to do, I'm going to marry each and every king's daughters. If I marry their daughters, then I'll be their son-in-law. So they're not going to fight with me. So we will have peace. And that was a wrong idea. So he just started this wrong idea, and he married so many wives and concubines. And so when he did that, the word of God said, they turned Solomon's heart towards their God. And Solomon did not use his wisdom. Do you know there is a queen of Sheba came to meet the Solomon, saw everything. In the Bible doesn't say that King Solomon had in a personal or sexual relationship with her. Didn't say anything. But there was only one word she used. She used, I want to fulfill my desire. So from that they came to know that he fulfilled her desire and gave her a son. And that's what the Ethiopia, they have some Jewish people and things like that. But the point I'm making, this man wanted to please every woman. 1,000 ladies to please everybody. The word of God says, man pleases his wife. When you get married, you have to please your wife. Solomon had a problem. He had no financial problem. He could give to millions of dollars to any wife to keep their mouth shut. Kings and all the people. But the word of God says, you can please women as much as you want. They will never be happy, period. They will have all kinds of desires. You cannot fulfill all the desires. And so Solomon didn't know that. Only God can keep marriage together. God is the one glue factor in the marriage. Husband, wife, and God is one triangle. So, but what happened? Solomon lost God. Start reading from verse 4. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4.
For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded.
God spoke to him twice in his life. He saw fire coming from heaven. He heard the voice of God. Now, once this thing happened, people get puffed up. They think, now God is pleased with me. I can do anything. God is so loving. God is so kind. And that's why people start committing sin. But our God is love, and our God is consuming fire. John says, God is love. So somebody says, God is love, so God is not going to punish me. And there is another preacher, I don't want to give his name, was a famous preacher. He has television, he's a big bishop. People were liking him because he's a young man. And all of a sudden, some devil came into his mind, and he starts saying, you know what? Devil is not going to go to hell. Because God is so gracious and loving, this Satan is going to be forgiven. And so, when Satan is forgiven, then there is no need of hell. So all the people can go to heaven. Sounded very good, right? But the word of God says, the hell is prepared for the devil and his followers. Hell is not prepared for us, for his followers. Who are his followers? Whoever listens to the devil, whoever worships the devil, whoever goes according to his will, they are all going to go to hell. St. John chapter 5, and if you read from verse 24,
verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation.
Now here we read, 24th read, if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you believe that Father sent him, and he is the Son of God, then he says, you pass from death unto life, and there is no condemnation. God is not going to judge the people who believe Jesus Christ. Their sins are forgiven and forgotten as they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But the people who reject Christ, those people are damned. And they are going to go to hell. They are going to be judged. And who is going to judge? He says, the Son of Man. Jesus Christ is love. He came and he said, oh, heavy laden, come unto me. I will give you rest. Same Jesus, he's going to judge everyone. St. John chapter 3, verse 16, if you read, what he says? He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And read the word following.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Now, see what he's saying here. God did not send his son to condemn the world. So the people say, oh, God did not send his son to condemn the world. That means he is never going to condemn the world. Read following.
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already.
So he said, if you believe in him, no condemnation. But if you don't believe in him, you are already condemned. Means each and every person in this world, if they don't believe Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, automatically they are not going to go to heaven. Now somebody said, oh, if they didn't hear the word of God, then what? There is not a single person today in the world they could say they didn't hear it. Now some people will say, oh, in African jungle or here and there. If you read in a book of Romans chapter 2, I don't have time. You read there and it's a judgment is given. Each person, if the person says, if you have a law, you will condemn by the law. If you heard the gospel, you will be condemned by the gospel. If you didn't hear the gospel and you didn't hear the law, then you will condemn by your conscience. So there are three kinds of judgment. Now somebody says, I didn't hear the Mosaic law. I didn't hear the gospel or New Testament or Old Testament. How can I be judged? He says, do you have a conscience? Yes. What is your conscience? We have good and bad conscience. We can know what is good and what is bad. In the judgment day, if somebody killed his brother, like a Cain killed his brother, and God asked him judgment day, don't you know that is wrong? You did it against your conscience. God was telling him not to do. Before the Cain killed his brother, God said, Cain, watch out. Do the right thing. Otherwise, sin is at the door. That means God was speaking to his conscience. You don't do wrong. Do it right. But he chose to do wrong. That's what the word of God is saying. Now that Solomon is a wise man. God gave him the wisdom, and we saw how much wisdom he had and what are the things he did. And his wisdom was gone around the world. That's why this queen of Sheba came to visit him. And so this man was famous around the whole world. And the Bible says there was not a single king like him and was not anyone going to be king like him. Promise was given to Solomon. God said it. But he said, but if you go after another gods and if you commit sin, then this promise is not going to be fulfilled. Many people thinking this wise man didn't understand what the will of God was, then how can we follow God? It's a very good point there, but God is much wiser than the world. The word of God says, Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. He says, Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 or so.
But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption.
See, in Christ, we have wisdom, sanctification, and redemption. So once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you get the wisdom of God. The Word of God says in Philippians, he says, we have the mind of Christ. When you have the mind of Christ, and we have the wisdom of God, we better be greater than the Solomon. Somebody says there won't be any king greater than Solomon. God said it. Go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 42. Matthew 12, 42.
The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here.
Who is saying? If you have a Bible and you have red letters, that means Jesus Christ is saying, the queen of Sheba came to see or hear the wisdom of Solomon. He said, the greater than Solomon is here. What is he trying to say? I am greater than Solomon. And the Solomon build the temple, we just read, and did the sacrifice, and the fire came from heaven, and they were so pleased, and the God's presence was so thick, so nobody can, even the priest, were not able to go into that temple. And so the people were so afraid that God lives in a temple. And so wherever they are, they have to look into Jerusalem to pray where the temple is. They were going to pray. But the Jesus Christ is saying, you thinking this temple, that's what they said, this temple is so great. He said, I can destroy this temple and I rebuild it within 3 days. They didn't understand what he was trying to say. They thought literal temple he was going to destroy. But he's saying here in the same chapter, greater than the temple is here. He says, I'm not only greater than Solomon, I'm greater than the temple. Solomon was, you know, so pleased the temple is built. Verse 6. Then comes the temple. Verse 6.
But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple.
See, so Jesus Christ is greater than Solomon, is greater than the Jonah, and greater than the temple. Thank God Jesus Christ came and he will be what? King of kings and Lord of lords. And so he did not do anything wrong. And so point I'm making, we are greater than Solomon. Why? Because of Christ. Because Jesus Christ says, you know, whatever I do, you will do also. And you will do greater things than I. Read that in St. John chapter 14, verse 12. St. John 14, 12.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Amen. Now, when the people say, how you say this man is great because of his works? Jesus Christ did so many signs and wonders and miracles, not a single prophet in the Old Testament can come close to his miracles. Jesus Christ did so many signs and wonders and miracles. And now he's saying, when he was going to heaven, he said, he's saying to his disciple, whatever the miracles, whatever the work I did, you can do also. And you do greater than me. Some people say, nobody can do greater than Jesus Christ. Then what? Jesus Christ was lying? He said, I am the truth. So if Jesus Christ said it, it has to be done. I'll give you a couple of examples and then you know how his disciple did it greater than Jesus. Now Jesus lived on this earth 33 and a half years. There is not a single record in the Bible that Jesus Christ was walking by and his shadow fell on somebody and people got healed. But there is a record that Peter was walking and his shadow fell on sick people and they got healed. The same way, there is nowhere written that Jesus Christ took the handkerchief and sent it away and demons were cast out. But Paul did it. And so I can give more examples, but time doesn't permit. So the point I'm making, Jesus, what he said, he did not lie. He told the truth. It is up to us to obey his commandment, take the courage, and do it. You have to say, Lord, you said it. I'm going to believe it, and it's going to work. That's the way it is. And so here, but Solomon, what he did, he got puffed up. My kingdom is so big. God already talked to me and everything is fine. Now I'm already in heaven. God is going to take me to heaven. Solomon was a man of God. God heard his prayer. God says there won't be nobody like you. And still that man lost the God's blessing. You don't go according to somebody's dream. You have to have personal relationship with God. Some people say, you know, how do you get saved? Oh, somebody prophesied about me. That doesn't make you saved. Or somebody says, you know, my mother and father, they go to church. That's why I'm Christian. Or somebody says, one lady came to me and she starts saying, you know, I was sitting in the church and there was somebody standing behind me and said, God is giving you Holy Spirit. He has already given to you. And so she was so happy and she started thinking, thank you, Lord, giving me Holy Spirit. Her brother came to our church. And when I was talking to about Holy Spirit, he starts saying, I have the Holy Spirit. I said, how do you know? He said, my sister was sitting in the church and somebody said she got a Holy Spirit. So she told me, you have the Holy Spirit. So somebody told her and she told him. So he believed. I said, give me your sister's number. I called her and I said, sister, let me talk to you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? She said, yes. What is your experience? Tell me, how did you receive the Holy Spirit? She said, you know, somebody was behind me and the pastor was preaching and they said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then one lady was behind me. She said, sister, you got the Holy Spirit. And she said, I believed it. I said, is that the way Holy Spirit comes? She didn't know anything about Holy Spirit. I took an hour or two, explained to her how the Holy Spirit comes and how you have to prepare your vessel to receive the Holy Spirit. And when he said, I prayed with her over the telephone. And the lady received the Holy Spirit, started speaking in tongue and glorifying God. The point I'm making, some people just think because God pleased with me, I saw a dream, God listens to me, so I got a license to go to heaven. Doesn't work that way. We have to live a life pleasing to God. How? Not only one day, 2 days, what? Until you die. You have to live a clean and holy life. We cannot say, oh, I got saved 10 years ago and my sins are forgiven and forgotten. Are you living good life now? No, I know God is so gracious. He can do anything. Tell these people, look at this Solomon. The wisdom, power, wealth, so many wives and everything. The man start doing idol worship. He keep on doing one after another. How old was he? He says he was old man. I don't know, in his deathbed he asked forgiveness, then he might go to heaven. But here in this scripture we read, he did so many idol worship, not one time, and went against God. And the word of God says, God was angry. God was angry at Solomon. And that's the time in that chapter, if he says, when God was angry and God talking, he should have said, I'm sorry, Lord, right? God gives you chance. He listens to your prayer, but don't get carried away. Keep on following the Lord, okay? I'm going to close here. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you if you have any prayer requests. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us grace to understand your will. We do not want to fall away, but we want to go to heaven. Give us grace to live clean and holy life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay, we are going to stop here.